Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And welcome to White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks its guests three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine. And my guests this week are one half of the noughties' most successful boy bands, who formed 22 years ago at the turn of the millennium. Their rise to fame was stratospheric, with their debut album and single both entering the charts at number one, setting them up for a further 15 hit singles, three number one albums. In fact, they went on to sell more than 15 million records in total, recorded with Sir Elton John and Stevie Wonder, and toured the world before hitting the pause button for the first of many times in 2005. In fact, they've reformed so many times, I've practically lost count. I am not Carol Vorderman. They even represented the UK at the 2011 Eurovision Song Contest, finishing in a very respectable 11th place. In the years since, they've all followed their own solo projects, from West End shows to standalone albums. But now, in 2022, they're back on the road with a big birthday to celebrate and a brand new album out in September. It's their 20th anniversary tour, kicking off this December. I'm thrilled to have half of them with me today. So let's dive in. It's Duncan James and Anthony Costa in the studio face-to-face.
Yes. How are you? How are you doing, Kate?
Good, how are you?
Yeah, I like that word, stratospheric.
It's a big word.
That was a big word, that.
You say it before you drink the wine.
Yeah, that's... I was going to say. Try saying it after the three glasses.
Let's all close the show with a stratospheric closing number at the end of it. Well, how are you both?
We're good, yeah. Just enjoying life. It's nice to get a second bite of the cherry, or as you said, our probably 16th bite of the cherry.
I think you've probably been through a whole punnet at this stage.
Yeah. But it's our proper one, because it's our proper comeback. I mean, obviously, we planned to do something in 2020, obviously, with what happened with the pandemic. So we put things on hold, and then obviously we're here and we're looking forward to it, and we can't wait to get back out there again.
And there is a lot of love out there. You've done some huge shows, and I think even you were probably quite surprised, were you not, when, especially when you're taking on some of the festival shows that have been happening this summer, to see how much love there is for Blue and how many people know the words to all the songs.
Oh, it's mad. We did the Mighty Hoopla Festival, which was just insane. And it was funny because we were all backstage getting ready, and you got Anastasia in the dressing room next to you, and then there was Natalie Imbruglia in the one next door, and then steps were across the road, and it felt like, oh, this is nice. It's like back in the day, how it used to be
changed
with everybody.
Party in a park.
And then literally we walk up to get onto the stage, and we walk out, and honestly, it was like we were all rabbits in headlights, because there was just thousands and thousands and thousands of people crammed into Brockwell Park. And I kid you not, everybody was just singing every single word to a song. And it was the weirdest comeback gig.
Oh, it was amazing.
First time we've done a gig like that in years. And it was just like, I think it took us a few minutes to just figure out what was going on.
A, what was going on, B, who's doing the dance moves, and C, if we're singing the right words.
Yeah, which is probably with me not knowing any of the
not
words.
Not really great dunks.
I always forget the words. It's an age thing.
You forget the words?
I forget the thing.
Kate, honestly, we're doing a gig and it's like, I don't know, One Love. He's like...
I will do a little shimmy over
go,
to Andy.
He'll go. Be like,
what's the words?
What's the words? What's the first line? What's the first line?
What is the first line? Let's try.
It's kind of funny. How life can change.
That's Simon.
Oh, yeah, Simon. Here we go.
Oh, you know. See? That's rubbish.
I'm tired.
You're having a menopause.
Late at night, I'm still wide awake. That's
the one, man. I remember, this true story, we were, I think it was like the equivalent of the Italian National Lottery show. Or was it Spain? One of them.
I remember, except I don't.
We were stood there and we were singing our song and it got to my verse and I just, you know when you get a mind blank? And I kid you not, the camera's on, it was live television. So I thought, well, I better sing something because there was nothing in my head. I was like, I don't have a clue what I'm singing. So I kind of went into some, I don't know what language I was singing.
It
was Breathe Easy. But it was some language that I went into that I've never spoken before in my life. And all the boys just look across to me and I just got this. And I'm like, it's like, what are you singing? I was like, I actually don't know. Can you remember that?
Literally busking.
And I couldn't help you because we had four mic stands.
And you were just all laughing at me.
I was like, how can you not? He's the funniest thing.
This is what we do in Blue. We're really unprofessional. He's like, point out who's done something wrong. Just point and laugh at him.
It was just like the camera's in. He's going, I'm dry. And he's like,
just doing his Blue Steel, trying to style it out.
To sell it, Kate. I was like, sell it.
Sell it, baby.
What wine are we drinking, by the way?
This is a very nice Chablis.
Oh, I love a Chablis.
I love a Chablis.
My mum loves a Chablis. We had a lovely bottle the other day. She got me in Chablis, my mother.
It's nice.
Yeah.
We were just talking before we came onto set, as we are today. I remember running into you and your mum in a car park in Los Angeles. It's got to be 15 years ago. Wow. I'd just been for dinner with my friend Craig, who is Craig Logan, who was one third of Bros, who has now signed you for your comeback to his own record label.
He's our boss.
He's your boss.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Do you know, I was out in LA and we're good mates. Do you know Danny Bear as well, don't you?
Yes,
you know.
Danny's been on White Wine Question Time.
Yeah.
Her episode is available in our back catalogue.
You sounded like her then. Is that your Danny Bear?
She's the real life Selling Sunset, isn't she?
Yeah, she is. So yeah. I'm good mates with her as well. And I was probably out there chilling out with Danny, who's done incredibly well for herself, isn't she? She's been out there for years now.
But actually, if we're really going to go back through the archives, I'd like to claim a little bit of some responsibility for what became Blue.
Yeah, completely. It's down to you.
I was working for This Morning, right? So there was myself, Claudia Winkleman, we were doing kind of like the entertainments coverage. And there was the first of its iteration, Pop Stars, or one of the shows had just come on. And I went in and said to my editor, I think we should do a search for a boy band on This Morning. And I know this guy, like, I can bring a couple of judges in and we can do it live on the show. And so we put out a trail for people to audition. And I brought in to judge alongside me an unknown A&R man called Simon Cowell, who'd never been on the telly.
Happy bloke.
He was furious on the day, wasn't he?
Oh.
Miserable as sin. And we staged these open auditions. And it was like the stage was no bigger than probably a flat screen TV in today's age. And these guys were jumping up on the stage and we had to give them feedback. And I remember Karen Keating, who's hosting, saying, what is it that you're looking for today? And I turned to Simon and I said, what we're looking for is the X Factor.
Yeah,
you did.
Wow.
How funny is that, right? So up pops a kind of plethora of young hopefuls. Amongst them, the guys that went on to make up the This Morning boy band were Lisa Scott Lee's two brothers, the Scott Lees.
Yeah.
Will Young,
who then went on to win Pop Idol. Anthony.
No, I wasn't in it.
You weren't in it?
No.
Lee made it.
Yeah, Lee made it. Yeah.
Lee
and
Ryan
Richard,
made it.
A guy called Richard Knight, who we met, who became Blue first, wasn't it? Richard Knight was in it.
So at this audition... And you met Lee.
Yeah.
But at this audition, for some reason, he gets up on stage and I go, hi, what's your name? And he goes...
My name's Michael. Because what it was, I thought, do you know what, sod it, I'm going to change my name just for a laugh. And every audition I went to, I got down to last two and then I got into a band and it didn't work. And then, don't you know the story?
No.
He probably does. He can't remember.
Because you're a George Michael fan.
No, it was nothing to do with that. I just thought, I like the name Michael because, it's like, cool. Don't know why.
Because of George.
Because of George. And I thought, do you know what? I'm just going to sod it. I'm just going to do it. And my mum went, just do it. What have you got to lose? What, they're going to like you or not like you? And then I got in to the live shows. And I remember backstage going, can we have Michael to come in? And I'm sitting there, like, talking to Leroy backstage and Will Young. And we're like, yeah, Michael, where? Oh, shit, it's me. And, then, and I couldn't tell Lee. So every time Lee used to call me, he's like, yeah, what's happening, Mike? How you doing? I'm like, yeah, I'm good, mate. I'm good.
So he thought your name was Michael
for
years?
For about 6 months.
I never knew that story.
Yeah.
You learn something new every day, don't you? And I've known you for 22 years and I didn't know.
Oh, we have told you.
But as well as ascertained, you'll leave here today and forget it.
So. Yes, true.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Pop's favourite goldfish.
But, so, yeah, it's funny you said it. So you basically made us meet Lee. And I clicked with Lee straight away. And obviously Richard Knight, who, when that band disbanded, Lee and Richard became really good friends. And we formed Blue, didn't we? Me, you, Lee and Rich. And
Spencer.
And the guy called Spencer.
Yeah.
So there was five of us originally. And then two, Richard and Spencer, got kicked out. I think it was Richard's 21st birthday, wasn't it?
The day that's we went to sign our record.
On the day, yeah.
He got kicked out by who?
By Hugh.
Hugh Goldsmith. Yeah. Was it the right call?
It was. It was the right call.
Oh, it was the right call because obviously now it's in hindsight,
Simon,
isn't it?
We then got Simon.
Then
we
Webby
got Simon
came.
Webb. Yeah. And Simon Webb was Lee Ryan's flatmate.
Yeah. Mm. So first of all, when we went on audition to try to find a new member, we got Simon in. And I think the record company, they felt he looked a bit too gay, was what the words were. Can you remember?
Can you imagine that people would talk like that then? Yeah. And that was, people would go, sorry.
He had this weird hairstyle, didn't he? Like, he had this weird, like, remember, you know, like, he had like a fringe.
Dark
but,
and lovely. Like,
you but,
like,
but what's wrong with looking a bit gay?
Oh, I don't know.
And he was very pretty boy, Simon. He was very pretty because he was a model. And he had this weird kind of like fringe hairstyle thing, and he was just a very, very pretty boy, and they just thought he was too pretty. It was like, he looks too feminine, he's too gay looking, wasn't he? And it was like, they weren't interested in him at first, but we kept going, no, you've got to see him, he's great. And then I remember the record company,
I was last one to meet him,
they said to him, go and cut your hair. So then he came back with a skinhead and it changed everything. They were like, oh,
he came and he got the vest.
He had a tank top on, he had his muscles showing, he had a skinhead, and then all of a sudden they were like, oh, we love him, because they got his hair cut.
It's do you bad, know what? Shane Phelan had the same experience. Simon Cowell insisted that Louis Walsh kicked him out of the band because he didn't think he had what it took. And Louis believed in Shane, so dyed his hair blonde and kept him in.
Is that a true story? Wow.
Again, available on a previous episode of Why One Question Time.
No yeah. way. Yeah. But you must have
God, the 90s were shallow, weren't they?
It was.
But listen, all of this kind of takes me really nicely to my first question for you. So are you ready?
Okay.
Go.
A sip of wine first.
Yes.
It's lovely Chablis. Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers. Cheers.
I think what we've established is that sometimes while you're busy making plans or desperately trying to work to a plan, life happens for you. And some things are just meant to be, like you turning up and pretending to be called Michael at an audition where you met Lee, and then Lee is sharing a flat with Simon Webb.
Yeah.
And there you go.
Dunk being mates from 16 years old.
Exactly, yeah. Right? It's all kind of meant to be. Can you think of other times in life where fate has intervened, be it a situation, a person that's come into your world that was clearly meant to be,
yeah,
but you just hadn't planned?
Yeah.
Go on.
I was a young boy. I was young. I was 6 or 7 years old, and I saw my first ever pantomime at the London Palladium. And in that Palladium was Barbara Windsor, Rod Hull and Emu, Cannon and Ball. like proper old school.
Love that.
But there was a young girl.
Entertainment royalty.
Yeah. There was a young girl who was in the pantomime, and her name was Adele Silver. Fast forward 20 years later, she ended up being my girlfriend. Back in the day.
And Adele was your first big love, yeah?
Yeah, back in the day, yeah, because I remember driving past the Palladium, and I didn't know. I said, my first ever pantomime was there. It was Babes in the Woods. She was like, I was in that. And it was like, just random,
wow.
Isn't it? Yeah,
that is you're, mad.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, you were knocking on showbiz's door from a very early age,
was,
weren't you?
I was, Kate, yeah.
So actually, by the time you turned yourself into Michael, you were something of a veteran.
I was in Grange Hill, I was everything.
You really were, weren't you?
Yeah. Always grafted.
Hilarious.
It is, isn't it?
It's mad. I've got a bit of a similar story, actually, with Claire, who became the mother of my child.
Okay, yeah.
So before I was in Blue, I was in a boy band called Volume 5, which sounded like a hairspray.
It really does.
Yeah.
Volume
so
5.
We got this random one.
Why off 5? Why not 10?
I know, because it was 5 of us.
Oh, right, okay.
Volume 5. We got invited on a television program. It was the first TV ever done. It was called The Time, The Place with John Stapleton.
I remember
Yeah.
Do you remember?
Like an early version of Kilroy, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah,
it was. And we were asked to be in the audience as a boy band, up and coming boy band. And on the stage performing was the Spiced Girls,
right,
which was the UK's number one tribute act to the Spice Girls. And me and the boys got to watch them perform. And it was really uncanny, actually. They looked just like the Spice Girls.
Right.
And after the show, we all kind of, after the, you know, in the studio, we all started talking to one another, and we all arranged to go out with the girls that night. And I was staying in Totteridge at Ziggy Lichman's house, and we all arranged to go out and have a night out, go for some drinks with the girls. Cut a long story short, Claire, who was Posh Spice in the Spiced Girls, ended up becoming the mother of my child.
Who is now how old?
My daughter's now 17.
It's mad.
And an amazing young aspiring ballerina.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah.
And actually, me and Claire dated for about a year. I mean, I was like 18 at this time, but always stayed in contact. And then when I was 25 years old, we met up randomly. I was doing a gig in Manchester with the boys. We had a few drinks, you know, and had a bit of a fun time together. And 3 months later, I get a phone call saying, I'm pregnant. And I was like, oh my God. And I was just going through the whole, am I gay? Am I straight? Am I bi? I didn't know what was going on with me. And then all of a sudden, I get a phone call saying, you're going to be a dad.
Wow.
So literally, if I'd not have met Claire all those years ago on The Time, The Place with John Stapleton.
When she was a Spiced Girls,
Posh Spice. I would not have had my beautiful daughter.
Mad, isn't
so
it?
That is really goes to show there is a time and a place. Thanks to John Stapleton.
Cheers, John.
Yeah. Isn't that mad?
Wow.
So that answers your question.
Wow.
Yeah, mad, right?
And because you wouldn't change that for the world, right?
Never, of course not. And I might not had a kid if it wasn't for Claire. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because of my journey coming out as gay. So that might have never been a possibility for me.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's really significant.
Yeah. So the gods aligned something up for me to have a child, yeah.
Absolutely.
Definitely believe that.
And do you remember when Dunk told you that he was going to become a dad?
Yeah, we was doing a gig and my daughter had just been born. So she was about 8 months old.
Mm. So you have three kids, right?
Yeah, yeah. That I know of. I'm joking. I remember Dunk, we was doing a gig backstage, it was a summer gig, and he went, boys, I've got something to tell you. And we was like, well, you're leaving the band, aren't you, mate? He's like, no, I'm going to be a dad. And we were like, oh my God, amazing news. But this was before Dunk had come out to us properly, do you know what I mean? And we knew not, we was just happy that he was going to be a dad. And yeah, it was mad.
Yeah.
And how long after that did you come out to the band?
Well, that was the catalyst that started it, because I remember when Claire told me, I was in Ionapa at the time when I got the phone call. And I was with my mates on a holiday, and it was probably the most sobering phone call I've ever had in my life. So basically, cut a long story short, I get the phone call from Claire saying that she was going to be, she was going to keep this child. And I remember saying to her, right, I think I'm gay, and I need you to know before you make this decision. She said, it doesn't matter. I've always felt that you are a little bit gay anyway. I've known you for years. It doesn't surprise me. I've known you really well. I'm not gonna, you know, not have this child. And
wow,
would you like to be in its life or not? And I was like, of course I want to be in its life. I didn't even know if it was a boy or a girl. I didn't know anything about my daughter then. I just knew I was gonna have a baby. And the crazy thing was, I went and saw a clairvoyant who I got recommended by randomly, Greg Rosetsky's wife, Lucy, told me to go and see this clairvoyant.
It's just so random.
And I went down to see this clairvoyant, and she said to me, you're going to have a child next year and it's going to be a little girl. And I was thinking to myself, no chance. That is not going to happen, because I knew in my head, I was obviously secretly gay. And cut a long story short, I ended up having a daughter the following year, like the clairvoyant predicted.
So really, the first person that you came out to was the mother of your daughter. Before you'd even committed to going on this journey together.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I was really confused. And looking back now, I mean, it was never even a question, really. I was always going to have my daughter. But yeah, so I didn't even realise at the time, you know, I didn't even know my own self. So everything was just so confusing. We were in the height of Blue, and it was just everything was a real blur back then, wasn't it? It was mad.
Literally, yeah.
And then, of course, I knew that I had a secret boyfriend. I knew that I was gay.
None of us knew.
But I didn't tell anybody. And then, of course, I find out I'm going to be a dad. So it was just like, hang on a minute. Well, I need to tell this girl everything before, you know, she makes the decision. I have to be honest with her. And that was just my own guilt. It was like, I need to be honest. So I just went, blurted it out. And then it was like, oh my God, I've told somebody.
Yeah,
it was like, that was the catalyst of me then telling my mum.
Because once you've said it out loud, yeah, it's the genie's out of the bottle, right?
It was true. And
but
that was the genie out of the bottle.
Coming out, being completely honest straight away.
I had to be honest.
No. Fair play, mate.
You bring in a life into the world.
I remember you telling me, and I was going on a date with some bird, like some girl, and I was like, Dunk's phoned me. It's like 9 o'clock at night. He's like, Costa, just want to tell you that blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. I was like, okay, cool, brilliant. Well, fair play, man, well done. And I couldn't, I'm not saying I couldn't enjoy my night, because all I was thinking was if Dunk's going to be all right. But this girl I was with, like chatting, having a drink, she's like, yeah, so, you know, and all I'm thinking is, I hope Dunk's going to be all right. I've got to go. I've got to go home. And I left early that day, and I tried to phone you back, and Dunk's phone was off. I was like, oh, man, just have a chat, see if you're all right.
And it wasn't, it's not even a big deal. It's not even a big deal nowadays. But going back 17
years, but it was at that time.
It was a big deal.
It's only 2008.
Stephen Gately got outed by the News of the World, and I just was, the boy
band
member.
Living in fear.
I was living in fear, and I was so scared.
I've always wondered, what is the scary thing of being outed? What is that? Do you know what I mean?
I think the belief was back in the day that people will stop buying your records. You have to be fanciable to young teenage girls because that's your fan base, which is insulting to everybody involved in that conversation, isn't it?
It's that thing of, I'm scared of being out.
Yeah, but there was a massive pressure on us by a record label, who put a lot of money behind Blue. Your fan base is predominantly women, so you need to not have a girlfriend. Can you remember, Lee was dating one of the kittens? It was like,
Liz,
you can't date her. You can't be seen to be dating her because it's going to affect record sales. Mm-hmm. So it was like, you can't have girlfriends. You've got to be seen to be accessible, and you definitely cannot be gay. So all those things, it's just like, oh, gosh,
I think I was selfishly gutted that Dunk didn't open up to me first, only because I'd known him the longest. Out of the boys, I don't know who he came out to first, I don't know. But in mine, I was like, why couldn't he tell me last week or a month ago or 3 years ago? I remember it was a Saturday night and I was taking a girl out for a date. And I just felt like, and I remember, this is no disrespect to you, Doug, but you sort of said it so quick and I didn't have time to digest everything. You sort of went, so-and-so, yeah, and by the way, I'm gay and I'm going to do this, and I'm gonna do that. I'll speak to you later, bro. And I just thought, you don't do that to your bandmate or a close, who I consider a close friend. And, it upset me because I thought, why couldn't he have sat me down or sat all the boys down and go, blame it, X, Y, and Z? Not saying it's a big deal, but you think to yourself, why couldn't he have done that?
It's the pressure of that. It's actually confronting people face to face, isn't it? When you've got that. You've been hiding that secret for so long. It's like you feel shameful.
I'm just saying.
Do you know what I mean? It's weird because I look back now and I think, why did I have all those emotions? Why was it such a big deal? Why was I carrying this great big rod on my back? And I look back now and I think, how stupid I was. Do you know what I mean?
Well, in business terms, what they were saying to you is, we've invested probably well over a couple of million quid into Blue before they'd even started to see a return on their investment. Because it's business, right? This is the business case, I suppose.
Yeah.
And then he comes to you, Duncan has to come to you and say, by the way, guys, I'm about to put a dent in the business in as much as that's what I've been told, is that you can't, boy band members aren't gay, they're not allowed to have girlfriends, and if you are, you've got to keep it quiet. So the business case was, this could be bad for business.
Yeah.
And you feel that weight of responsibility because you're responsible for their livelihood and vice versa.
Yeah. And I think that was why I was...
I can't.
That was why I was.
That.
That's why I was really frightened to talk to any of you lot. I was so scared.
Did you
scared.
Feel that, Dunk? Did a you massive, feel that way?
No, massively. I just felt really frightened to be able to tell them, especially because I didn't know how they were going to react. Were they going to go and tell the record label? Were they going to tell management? Was it going to get out in the press? I just had in my head, I need to keep this really quiet. Nobody can know about this.
You were kind of catastrophizing it, the worst case scenarios.
And then when it happened, when I did my story and I came out, it was like the biggest relief. And actually, I look back now and I just think, why was I carrying that rod for so many years? And I look back now and I wish I had the opportunity to come out a lot younger.
Talk to your mates, your business partners, as you just rightly said.
Yeah, but it's hard. It was hard.
Because...
You're business partners and friends, and that's very blurred.
You might tell, I wouldn't give a shit. Excuse my friend.
Yeah, but now I wouldn't care. It's easy saying that now.
Yeah,
isn't
but it doesn't. But I know what you're saying. But I think as you're supposedly brothers, you know, I'm not saying Listen, the way you've done it, it's that's down to you. That's your prerogative. That's your livelihood, and no one wants to take that away from you. But for me, as your mate, to receive a call at like 10 o'clock at night, and I keep going on about it, but it did affect me because I thought, oh, am I the last one to know? Because as Dunk gone through, like...
Lee was the last one to know, not you.
No, but do you know what I mean? Receive a call that late at night and you think, oh, he must have spoke to Cy first, Lee, and then obviously I'm the last one to know.
No, but
you can't help but think that, bro. Do you know what I mean? Right. So, yeah.
So Lee was the last to know. Lee was very confused by it, wasn't he?
Lee was the last
but you've had loads of girlfriends. I don't understand.
Yeah, I mean, look, I just thought Lee had the biggest mouth in the band, and I just thought I can't trust him out of everybody because I don't know what he's going to go around. You know, he's going to run and tell people. Yeah. So I was really frightened. Actually, the first person to come out to was Simon,
which is weird because you're the last. Do you know what I mean?
Because let's just for context, you two were friends before you were bandmates.
I know
right?
Dunks since I was 16. So
your friends first, colleagues second. 100%.
Yeah.
And that's what's probably hurting your feelings.
This was 10 years of friendship.
Before
it came out.
Just to explain why because I was so close to you, I felt it harder to open up to you because sometimes it's the closest people are the hardest people to talk to.
So
with Simon, I just knew that he was the one in the band that the voice of reason. You could tell Simon anything. And he was very, very discreet about a lot of stuff, Si. And I just felt safest opening up to him first because I didn't feel that he was going to...
He wasn't going to be a liability with your secret.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
But also probably, Duncan probably really cared about your response because of your friendship.
Yeah, I did.
So actually what you do with a piece of information like that is you test the waters first. Mm. And you did a good response from Claire. Then you went to your mum. Then you went to Simon. Yeah. You were building, okay, I'm testing reactions.
I was.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That
all makes sense.
Yeah.
Wow.
We've gone deep, haven't we?
Oh,
that was a bit deep. Right, I need a glass of wine. We need a top up.
No, I'm glad because I'm glad it's got off my chest because it's always affected me, Kate.
Yeah.
Like, I've always thought, why me? Why did he tell me last? Yeah, but that's just how you are, you know what I mean? But if I told the boys something and then obviously yourself last, you'd think the same, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, there we go.
Cheers, bro.
Well, look, we've cleared some hair.
No,
we've cleared the air.
This is great.
Good.
Thank you.
Ready for your next question?
What's the next question?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
we're looking back over 20 kind of glorious years in so many respects, but with a sort of with an eye on greatest hits, there's two ways of looking at the last two decades. There's those moments of great highs, but the ones also of great lows. So I'm going to do hits, and then as my third question, misses, or we can do it whichever order you want to do
you
first.
Go.
But I think there's lessons in all of them. So when it comes to your greatest hits as a band, not the songs, the moments, the memory bank, what sits in there as those standouts for you?
I think, personally, is the fact that we got awarded with Best British Newcomer in 2002 at the Brit Awards.
Yeah, that's pretty good, isn't it?
And I tell you for why, because we were seen as a pop band. Are we R&B? Are we pop? Are we this? And a couple of people that were on that stage that night didn't really believe in us. And I remember just seeing that person's face as he opened the envelope. And
Somebody who was announcing it?
Trevor Nelson.
It was Trevor Nelson, wasn't it? And obviously, listen, Trevor Nelson's a legend in the DJ world. But I feel like he didn't, I don't know, maybe it was just me, paranoid again, didn't really respect what we were doing and what we had done. So that's
you'd only been a year on the scene.
A year. So it was all like, you know, we got, All Rise is all right. Look at their stupid dance routines and things like that. But when you win that British Newcomer, none of us knew. We just got invited as a jolly, wasn't it? And, the reaction that you saw was like emotion of this hard work and, you know, over the years getting told no, being let down and getting that elation with my mates and jumping on each other and having a good time. That's you can't buy that realness.
That must have been a euphoric moment.
Unbelievable.
Especially for the kid that started in Panto at six and changed his name to Michael.
Yeah, yeah. But you know what I mean? It's all them things that go through your head going, I've worked so hard for this. Not myself. With the boys, we've, you know, in different bands, we've been knocked back. We've been promised the world. And now we've found each other and it's just gone mental.
Yeah, that's nice. And I bet you can still smell the room that night and feel the feels when you hear that envelope opening and they say, it's blue.
Yeah,
it was amazing.
For sure.
It was an amazing feeling because the record company didn't tell us that we'd won. They knew.
Yeah.
Kept it really quiet.
Well, they have an idea. They get a steer, don't they?
Yeah.
It was amazing. For me, do you know, I know we talk about it a lot, but working with Elton, I think for me, was such a huge thing because I started off my career at 18 years old as a male vocalist for a holiday site called Haven Holidays.
Did you?
I was a Haven mate, yeah.
Do you know what? That's a brilliant training ground.
Did it for
Amazing.
2 years. So I started off in a little site in West Bay in Bridport, and then I moved up to Harcourt Sands in the Isle of Wight and then Milrythe in Portsmouth. And because I was like the singer, I was booked as this singer of the Haven Mates. I didn't have to do all the shitty jobs.
You didn't have to do all the jollying and the kids along.
I got to do a bit more cooler stuff. But one of my jobs was to run the karaoke nights. And, you know, you've got to have a couple of songs in your arsenal because you're going to be able to get up and sing karaoke songs. So one of my songs that I always sing was Elton John, Your Song. So going from being 18-year-old redcoat, effectively, singing Your Song to the punters at the holiday camp, to actually then fast forward 4 years later to be actually singing with Elton John.
It's only 4 years later.
Yeah, having a number one hit with him around the world. That for me was, I can't believe this is happening. Going from singing his stuff in a karaoke and then actually singing with him and being in a music. That for me was like,
yeah, when you see
yourself.
Your name on the same call sheet for the video and you're like, me and Sir Elton John.
No, it's so
wow.
Weird. And what a lovely story is, he brought us all a little Theo Fennell. Was it Theo Fennell?
Theo Fennell gold necklace.
Gold necklace, which my mum, bless her, he wrote a little letter to us all with our names on saying, thanks for doing the song. It means a lot. Love, Elton. And my mum framed it for me as a Christmas present. She put his letter in a framed box thing with the gold necklace, and it's still hanging up in my hallway.
Aww.
And it was so lovely. It's such a lovely memory.
He's a very nice man, Elton John.
He's a
lovely
man.
For all his screaming and hissy fits, and I've seen those firsthand, and they're bloody brilliant. I think that he's a brilliant supporter of new talent.
He is.
He's great in a crisis, and he sweeps in and he nurses people back to good mental health when they're having a hard time. And you hear a lot of those stories across the years.
And he's done so much for the LGBTQ+ community, for his AIDS Foundation. I mean, you just think about the actual work that he's done. I mean, he lived during the 80s when the AIDS crisis was massive, and he's gone out there as a pop star, as somebody who's made a career for himself and done something about it and helped so many people and so many lives. And for me, you know, being a gay man, I just take my hat off to him for everything that he's done in his career. And for me, getting an opportunity to work with him firsthand, doing a song with him, was just probably my biggest, happiest moment ever that I will take to the grave.
Yeah, that's a deathbed moment, isn't it?
Yeah, it's proper.
In the nicest.
Have you ever been starstruck, Kate? I've always wanted to ask you that.
Me?
Have you ever met someone that you thought?
Yeah, George.
Who? Michael. And me.
George.
And me.
Really?
But we became friends. He's my idol. I tried to resist his friendship.
I've got a high five you on that, Kate. Oh, I love him.
I was too scared to become his friend in case I made a show of myself.
Love
and
him.
Actually, he was more magnificent than I could have ever hoped. Oh. Yeah, he was wonderful.
He was amazing, wasn't he? Because I met him inside Top of the Pops, because my family and his family became really close. Like,
we're all from the same part of the world, right?
Yeah, yeah. Parts. Northwest London, yeah.
Yeah.
But you're both Greek as well.
And we're both half Greek.
Yeah.
And
that's what he used to do. He used to ring me up and he'd go, "Hello, it's the singing Greek."
Hi, it's the singing Greek. But I met him at Heart FM. You know, like, remember Heart FM?
Yeah,
they
yeah,
had
yeah.
the, it was like a courtyard, wasn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it was, yeah.
And I remember coming outside for a cigarette and a cup of tea. And I was meeting Dale Winton there. Drop as much as I love him, and I see these paps. I'm thinking, who's the paps for? So as I've turned to go back inside, all I hear is Anthony, hi. And I've turned.
You sounded like him then.
I know. And he's standing there, glasses, suit, shoes. I was like, oh, hi, George.
It's wonderful.
And he went, there's my single, man. Look after it. And he gave me his first single, which was Round Here. He gave me the first single, yeah, from, well, obviously, 2007.
Wow. Yeah. But it's magical, isn't it?
And he said to me, thank you so much for everything you say about me in interviews.
Ah, yeah.
Because it means a lot.
Yeah.
It's nice that I've helped yourself.
I never wanted to become a friend of his. I just loved his music. And I never talked about him as a person. I talked about him as a musician.
Mm.
Because, I, you know, that those were the soundtracks to my years.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
God rest his soul.
I still have his number in my phone. I can't bear to delete it.
Oh, I love that, though.
That's legendary.
I can't bear to delete it.
And never do.
No, I won't. I won't.
Never do.
There we go.
Wow.
Love that.
It's one of my big hits, anyway. Yeah. Okay, so we've talked about your biggest hit moments. Ready for question number three. Let's talk about the lessons that life has taught you. What do you consider to have been life's slaps in the faces that were probably, in hindsight, a blessing in disguise?
Ooh, a blessing in disguise.
Wow.
Wow. That's a really difficult
question. That's a great
question,
Kate.
Good.
And I'm going to answer it in a minute.
Have a little sip of wine first and just have a think about it.
So, hold on. Life's lessons that have hit us in the face and gone, thank goodness for that.
But in hindsight, so at the time you're on your knees going, oh my God, how am I going to get out of this space? Or what's happened? How has it all gone so wrong? But actually in hindsight, it could be like, you know, like we've discussed on, you know, the moment Claire rings you and you're coming to terms with the fact that you are in fact gay and then suddenly you're going to become a dad. But actually in hindsight, it accelerated you coming out. It forced you to be honest with yourself and others.
Of course.
And that was probably one of the greatest gifts life's ever served you.
It was. And I think that's kind of answers that question. But going to one of the lowest points in my life, slightly changing your question, for me was actually losing a really good friend, which was Tara.
TPT.
She was one of my best mates, and I didn't have many mates in the business, as you know. I kept myself quite private, and Tara was that one person that I would speak to every single day without failure.
You were so close.
For years and years and years.
So Tara, for the listener, Tara is Tara Palmer Tomkinson, who was, probably the closest thing to a sort of showbiz unicorn that I ever met. She was really quite something.
She was a pocket rocket.
And she really was. She was beautifully nuts.
Beautifully nuts is a great way of describing it. I was very fortunate to have some great memories with Tara. We went on many, many holidays together, getting up to all sorts of crazy shenanigans. Just the most wildest memories I've got in my life ever of the craziest things that would happen, but absolutely like belly laughing. Cannot explain how funny and how bonkers and how brilliant she was. And actually losing her left such a void in my life, because so many times now in my life, I just think I just want to pick up the phone and ring her and slag somebody off, or pick up the phone and just have a gossip with her about something. And we would just talk for hours and hours and hours and hours about shit. And I miss that. I don't have anybody to do that with anymore.
Yeah.
And I miss that so much. And there's so many television programs that I see on TV nowadays that have come out, reality shows and stuff. And I look at it and I think, Tara would have been so brilliant in this. And I'm gutted she's no longer with us. It breaks my heart, because she was just an absolute joy, and I really miss her.
And do you know what I loved about Tara is that initially she kind of was a bit of a joke. You know, people scoffed at her. Oh, the posh girl with the column in the Sunday Times. She ended up winning the hearts of the nation.
She did.
And she had the last laugh in that respect, because she was very, very loved. And we're horrible in this country in terms of being prejudiced against people who are from, you know,
privileged background. Yeah,
we are. We feel a great sense of resentment, I think, as, you know, we don't celebrate it.
No.
It wasn't her fault that she was born into aristocracy or to money or into a private education. She was a lovely person, Tara.
She
there was no harm to be had with her.
She had a lot of grievances with the press. I mean, they used to really go for her, and I bless her. I remember when she went to William and Kate's wedding, she wore this gorgeous blue dress and she had a Philip Tracy hat, and she was so excited about the wedding. And I remember being with her in her flat, showing me all the samples of the wedding dress before it had got made, the Philip Tracy hat. And Philip was a very good friend of hers, and she was so excited. It was like the most excitable time. I mean, she was an excitable little bunny, but she was so excitable about the wedding. And then the next day, the press were just all about the hat pointing to her nose, and it was all about her nose, and she was just so devastated and so upset from it. And I remember, obviously being a friend, you listen to somebody, you're there for them and you support them and you help them and everything. And she was just like heartbroken that the press was just so cruel about
her appearance. So by that stage, I mean, Tara really did win people's affections, and people were rooting for her to get better. She had a real struggle with addictions.
She hadn't looked after herself in certain times of her life, and it had left her.
But had been very open about that.
She had been open, and it left her with having to have some surgery to help rebuild her nose. But I don't think the surgeries had gone very well. They hadn't gone according to plan. And cut a long story short, she was very, very self-conscious about her appearance, very self-conscious about her nose, and she was trying to do everything to make it, you know, try to be normal.
Mm.
And going to the royal wedding, you know, was her way of, look at me, I'm on the red carpet of society at the royal wedding, and it was just all became about her nose, and I think that really upset her. And it took her away from the actual what she was there for and the meaning of it, because.
And then she was feeling good about herself again. She was feeling like life was back on a, you know, she was on a good footing in life again. And it had been hard for her, hadn't it?
It had been really hard. And people can be so cruel. I mean, we all know, we've all been subject to cruelty online or by trolls or by the media. And people can be vicious when they want to be, and you know, there's this whole thing of hashtag be kind, but you know, that goes out the window, and people just want to pick a flaw in you or pick a hole in you and be like, just come at you with daggers. And it's just, it can be really, you've got to have tough skin in this business.
100%.
I'm sure we've all had it, haven't we? So
yeah, big time. Coming on to what your dunk was saying, I mean, it's completely different, but in 2005, when we sort of called it a day, I wouldn't say I went into a depression, because I don't think I did. I was lost, Kate.
I really get that. I think that
I lost my mates.
Yeah, you lost everything. You lost your itinerary, your reason for getting up every day.
You know, and your
being
phone,
told where to go, what to do.
Your phone in the record company. Yeah, your phone in the record company. All of a sudden, they're in meetings. You know, trying to find my mates like Dunk and Lee inside. They're all busy doing solo, and I was sitting at home, and I thought, I don't know what to do. Like, I've put all my life into Blue. I've put everything I've given. I'm not saying the boys didn't, but they had other things. And I thought, I've got to do something with my life. And the jungle, I'm a Celebrity, saved me. I wouldn't say because I went into depression, because I didn't, but it saved me because it gave me a thing of showing what I can do, being the personality that I've got, the cheeky chappy. And I remember driving to GMTV, you know, being driven in the morning because I was flying that night. And bearing in mind, we split in the, well, we called it a day in the July of 05. This is now the November. And I remember a certain DJ on Heart FM in the morning, they were, you know, they go through the papers, didn't they?
Yeah.
You know, oh, who's doing this? And oh, yeah. And they love to sound their own voice. And they sort of like, oh, who's in the jungle this year? Oh, we've got Sheree Murphy. We've got Atomic Kitten's Jenny Frost. We've got, the boy band has been Anthony Costa. And I never forget that. I thought, has been? I've only just finished 5 months ago. Like, a has been is someone that's not been around for 30, 40, 20 years.
But it's never a nice thing to call anybody at any point in their life.
Well, of course not. But you, as
at
I,
least
I,
you've I me- been, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah. But yeah. I remember just going into that studio and thinking,
ow.
Well, has been? Like, what have I got to talk about? Like, being. So anyway, so the jungle did save me in that sense because it gave me a new lease of life. And from that, I went on to do my first love, which is acting.
You've done
undeniable.
Loads of stage work since then.
Yeah, and I owe my acting stage career up to now to Sir Bill Kenwright because he gave me my first opportunity. I remember my agent going.
But if you hadn't done the jungle, the thing is, what the jungle will give you, as long as you don't balls it up, is the ability to sell tickets and put bums on seats.
Yeah.
And theatre producers will cast you, but only if you're good.
Bill Kenwright would not cast
me. They're not
going to
give you a job if you can't carry it.
You can't do it.
Absolutely.
Because you can't fake it every night.
You can't. Eight shows a week, yeah.
And by the way, that includes matinees, in case anyone's scratching their head at home going, there's only seven days a week.
And I remember my agent going, yeah, but it's not great money. You know, 3 months ago you was earning this amount, thousands. I said, no. I said, I've got to stand up for myself. I want to do this job. Yeah, but it's not great. I said, I want to do this job because it's the best shop window I can ever do. Because you can or invite a director or a cast director. I'm only in town. I'm at the Phoenix Theatre. And then from that, it sort of went
also,
and went and went.
You're going to work every day. And I think that's really good.
100%.
Because otherwise, where are you going? Yeah, and where's your structure? Yeah. And as a member of a band, you're structured, right? You're told what time your pickup is, where you're going, here's your itinerary. And when all of that goes and the phone stops ringing or people are in meetings when you call them, you are adrift.
100%.
I think it affected Anthony the worst because, and I mean, even to this day, we take the mick out of him. We call him Rolex because he's honestly the first person to arrive and the first person to leave because he likes to get out of there. But he's always been, wants to know the schedule, wants to know the diary. He turns up early. He's always an hour before everybody and he's ready to do his job where a lot of us are. I mean, I have to speak about myself, you know. I'm a little bit more relaxed, I guess. I kind of, not that I want to be late, it's never that I want to be late, but things just happen in the morning where I forget about the time. It's like, oh my God, my car's been waiting. I better get in the car. I'm 10 minutes late. And of course, then I get stuck in traffic. So then I arrive a little bit later and I put my hand up because that's really bad. And I've learned over the years, you can't be like that.
No, you can't. No,
I've always been.
You get fired anywhere else.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. But now as I'm getting older, you know, it's like you can't be like that. But back in the day, Ant was the ultimate professional. And I think when everything started to disband, I think it affected him. A lot worse than it did the others. You've learned actually so much, Anne. And I think you've had the hardest lessons to learn when I look back. You know, you have. And actually,
oh, God,
when I look
I've
back at things,
you, all the time.
Exactly. And I really feel for you in that respect. But you've learned from it and you've become stronger because of it. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The same with, you know, the business side of show business, right? You all come into it for the show, but you have to understand the business.
It's show business, not show friends.
Exactly. And you learned the hard way about business, but I bet you've got an eye on the line sheets now and you know the difference between net and gross.
100%.
Yeah. Yeah. But you didn't when you started.
No.
How did you learn?
Not
the hard way.
We learned the hard way.
Yeah, we went bankrupt.
Bankruptcy.
Yeah.
Of course. And it does. It teaches you so many lessons, valuable lessons in life.
Mm.
Now these are things that I can pass on to my daughter because I didn't have a clue when I was her age or when I was starting off in Blue.
Yeah.
But now I've got much more of an idea. I didn't have anyone to help me. So now, because of my failures, hopefully I can help her.
Exactly.
Completely.
So you pass it down.
Pass it down.
Yeah. But I do think, you know, well, put it this way, you've not been declared bankrupt twice, have you?
Exactly.
So it taught you well. It taught you well. Yeah. As you go into this tour and the release of this new record, what does Blue 2022 look like?
I think 2022 for Blue, for me, it's having the opportunity to be back with the boys again, getting to travel the world again, and actually having a second chance to enjoy it. First time around, I couldn't enjoy everything because of the secrets that I was hiding and the rods that I was carrying. But this time around, I don't have any of that. So I'm just enjoying life, having a nice time, enjoying all the different opportunities that come my way. Being here with you today, it's lovely.
Just trying to remember the words.
Just trying to remember the words. If you can't remember the words, they'll be written on my hand.
Yeah. What about you, Ant?
I think just being given another opportunity and can't wait to get back out there and show people what Blue are about in terms of how far we've come musically. You know, this album has been 2 years in the making. And as I said, when we started talking today, we started to talk about this reunion tour in January 2020. Mm. So it feels like a long time coming now. Yeah. But I'm
really
excited.
It's been good for those 2 years to have that as a structure to work to.
Yeah, because I think we've sort of, as a band, we've sat down, we talk all the time. Not saying we didn't before, but I think now it's like, you know, Dunk, for instance, he loves a group phone call, that's what he likes. He likes to get everything out in the open and go, right, boys, this is what's happening. Let's talk about this, let's talk about that. And it's great because 20 years ago, Dunk wouldn't have done that.
Would you not?
No way.
Listen, I'm all about transparency now. I'm like, just if we've got something to say it to everybody. It's like,
get it out.
Just get it out. It doesn't matter if you're going to offend somebody. Just say it. And nowadays, I'm a big believer of, if there's a problem going on with the group, I hate the...
He said,
do you know what? Yeah. I can't stand it.
It's so unproductive, right?
So annoying.
So
I'm going to ring you, and then I'm going to ring you. I'm like, do you know what? We'll all speak together. Yeah. Get it out in the open. Everyone can say their bit, and we move on.
Yeah. And that's what we've become. I'm not saying we're going to be, you know, businessmen of the year, but we're taking it much more seriously now because there is other stuff that we all want to do.
And also, life's too short.
We're here for a good time, not a long time.
Yeah.
And I think I've got other things that I want to do. I want to go into property. I want another sideline where I'm not thinking about what harmonies am I doing, you know, tomorrow. I can focus on that today. I can focus on that. And I think that's where my energy is going to be. Obviously, I'm excited to be back with the boys.
But you can do both. Why can't you do both?
I'm 41 years old, Kate. I want my girls, like Dunk, I want my girls to grow up and me to go, right, girls, you're 17, 18 now, that's yours. Do what you want with it. And because I never had it. Do you know what I mean? So I want to be able to do that for my kids.
That's lovely that you've got that goal and you've got that focus, and that's something that drives you every day when you wake up. And that's something that we probably didn't have 20 years ago.
And it's a much healthier driver than the original driver, which was, I want to be successful, I want to be famous, I need to be busy.
Not interested in the fame. Couldn't give a monkeys. Mm. Don't care.
But I bet you love walking on stage and singing One Love and watching the whole crowd sing it back to you.
Of course.
That's the reason you should be doing it.
Exactly. But as you said, that's our job. We're there to entertain.
But also, that is also a drug that we always love, because when you get on that stage and you're seeing everybody sing back, the serotonin levels that are going through your body at that moment is elation.
Yeah.
And it's stratospheric. And I managed to say that on my third glass of wine.
Well,
there you go.
Mic drop.
Bring it back.
When can people buy tickets, and when can they download the album? Because obviously they don't go and buy CDs anymore, although they can. You know.
They can pre-order the album now. It's out in September, and tickets are on sale now. Just follow our Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, website at Official Blue.
Officialblue.com. And we're touring the UK in December, up and down the UK. We start off in Cardiff
on the
4th of December,
hey!
Which I'm really excited about.
Remembered something.
Remember
and I know, right?
When do we end?
We end on the 20-something.
20th. Well done.
In Newcastle.
Just in time for Christmas. Way, man.
Way,
great Christmas present. And actually, we've got two songs out in a minute, Kate. One's called Haven't Found Yet, which Mr. Costa wrote, which I have to take my hat off to him because I wish I'd written it. It's a great song.
It's a great
and
song.
Another song called Dance With Me, which is a cover from the 90s band 112.
Yeah.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. You're thinking of dance, dance, dance.
No,
dance, it's not that one.
Dance With Me from 112.
That's a great song.
I see you looking at me.
Oh, is that?
What you feeling me?
Yeah,
that'll go down well live.
Yeah.
Well, I can't wait to come and see
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, Kate.
How's it been having three glasses of wine and three thought-provoking questions?
Do you
I've
know what?
Loved honestly, it. I've absolutely loved it. And thank you. Best therapy session
Do
I've
know,
had
honestly,
in years. And it hasn't cost me 1,500 quid.
Actually, I would just like to say I'm very disappointed because I would like a fourth glass before I leave.
And you can.
The bottle's empty.
There's always more bottles.
Hey!
Always more bottles. Thank you both.
Can we try Sancerre next, please?
Thank you. Really have loved having
you
here.
No, thank you, Kate. Thank you.
And if you want to hear more great chat with more incredible music legends, why not head to our back catalogue where you can find episodes with Steps, Hanson, All Saints, Bananarama, Sophie Ellis-Bextor, Charlene Spiteri, Gary Barlow, Ella Henderson, Skin from Skunk Anansie, and so many more. My thanks to you, as always, for lending us your ears, to Ben Robbins and the Yahoo Studios team who produced the show with me. Editing, and as always, is by Andy Agson, and our music comes courtesy of Andy Bell. Don't forget, you can check out his music with Oasis, Ride, and his solo material wherever you get your music. I'll be back next Friday. Until then, thank you for listening.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.